Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 19th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Alan Smith. Mr. McGrone, good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother.
Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Always.
Okay. Let's see if I can find one. Melancholy. How do we get the word melancholy?
You're out in the pumpkin patch, and I don't know. I have no idea.
The term comes from the Greek melaneia, meaning black, and chloe, meaning bile. The early Greeks thought that the emotions were made active by the bile, and that a sorrowful feeling was created by black bile.
Oh, my.
I don't think I'm going to ever use that word again.
Yeah, okay, let's not go there.
It's not a melancholy moment anymore, no.
Now you got all these images in our minds.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe we ought to go to Greece and research the validity of that, though.
Something, yeah. Or maybe put a different image into the listener's mind.
Yes, right? Yes. One of the things that I subscribe to, I suppose, is the best way to say it, to get Humboldt County out of its malaise.
Melancholy?
No, malaise. is a recognition. And I think early on, Steve, a lot of people were thinking, okay, we go from timber. Timber's kind of taking a hit. Now we go to fishing. Fishing's taking a hit. Then we go to marijuana. With what we've experienced the last couple of years, I don't think marijuana is going to be the salvation that a lot of folks were thinking.
No.
So now we pull that out, and we're back to the same kind of spot of, all right, here we are.
Yeah.
Stagnant economy would probably be a fair term.
Mm-hmm.
Flat economy is probably the one that doesn't have quite the same emotional tinge. But here we are.
Yeah.
Okay, now what are we going to do? And in the past, we've looked to the Humboldt State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
they're down 1,800 students or
something.
Yeah,
and the projection isn't necessarily a really positive one.
No.
Now, if they had another 5,000 kids,
yeah,
okay, things are going to change significantly
sure.
all over the place.
Yeah.
But that's not a one-night turnaround either.
No.
So when we look at things about economic development, last time we talked about Measure Z,
mm-hmm.
based on the sales tax.
Right.
How do we identify the opportunities that are here?
Mm-hmm.
In our area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there a blueprint we can go to?
Well, there's countywide and then there's specifics for each community, right? So Eureka is very different than Arcata and different than McKinleyville, Fortuna, et cetera. And so what I try to do is look at a broad picture of Humboldt County as a whole, but also focus in on my district, and McKinleyville is the big population center of that district. But, the fourth one that you didn't mention was tourism. It's always been a piece of the economy. It seems to be growing. People are a little less enchanted by airlines and doing a lot more driving to their destinations.
Right, the service economy is there,
yeah,
but
and
I know it's one of those ongoing age-old
sure.
arguments.
Doesn't pay as good a wages as
yeah.
say the
others.
The shipping industry
yeah.
out of Humboldt Bay.
Okay,
which
I mean we need
it. Some great jobs.
Yeah. Need it certainly,
yeah.
But
yeah.
you don't get a lot of careers developed there other than in the management.
That's correct.
Okay, fair enough.
But depending on what service you're talking about, for instance, if you're talking about mountain biking and kayaking and all kinds of outdoor types of things, there's some pretty good wages paid in that industry for a lot of the people involved in that kind of stuff.
Seasonal
to some
degree.
Good
when it's there.
But, the climate stuff has us looking at a place where a lot of people are going to seek refuge from floods, fires, all kinds of different things, So
pestilence,
yeah,
locusts.
Yeah, right. Back to melancholy.
Yeah.
it's true that cannabis did help us get through the 2008 recession, unlike the rest of the state. The rest of the state down the Bay Area, property values dropped 40-50%, in a year or two. That didn't happen in Humboldt. And a lot of that was because it was propped up by the illegal black market cannabis industry at the time. I agree with you that it's not necessarily going to be the savior, although I do believe it will stay around. And I think as federal regulations change, it becomes legal nationally, like hemp is now. We will see a lot of shifting that will continue. And I do believe that Humboldt has a very significant place in the market, like Napa did with its wine, because Humboldt County grows the best bud on the planet, and it's well known all over. When you travel, people snicker when you say you're from Humboldt, et cetera. So I don't think it's going away, much like industry.
I think it'll shrink further because
the
ability
shrank.
To grow in the San Joaquin Valley and RJR coming in and buying it
right.
is going to change the dynamics.
But that's large-scale, commercial, not right. well-tended, anything product from anywhere.
It's not the boutique.
No, it's not. And the boutique, you know, in
Napa
County,
we were doing massive grows.
We had 8,000 farmers.
5 years ago.
Yes.
And now we're down into the boutique.
Down to 800 or 1,000. Well, they're not boutique. They're mostly gone large and industrial, you know, to try and survive.
But can they compete?
I believe that in the future market they will. And I do believe we will reclaim our place in the market, like Napa wine, for Humboldt Appalachians, the best bud grown on the planet in terms of quality of flower and that kind of stuff.
Well, let me ask, what percentage of the wine industry does Napa represent?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but what I do know is that
California, even.
The actual sale of wine in Napa is small compared to the tourism dollars that come in based on the wine industry in Napa.
Sure, people want the tours.
They want the tours, they value that high-quality wine to come there and enjoy themselves on vacation.
And there was some discussion that there might be tours of the marijuana fields, but I look at the coffee in Hawaii, and okay, there's a little bit, but there's not a ton of it. I mean, you couldn't really substantiate it.
But you look at Amsterdam, for instance, and it is a massive
piece
of Amsterdam.
Wait, those are whole different experiences.
It is.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. See, the concept of economic development, one of the things that has always been frustrating for me is we celebrate the onesies, twosies, but we never feel that we're viable enough to get the 30s, 40s. And I don't know if it's because we're here. I don't know if it's a mindset. I don't know if it's because the no growth at any cost crowd. I don't know what it is, but it's always been frustrating to me that we don't go after the larger, and maybe we attract a medium rather than focusing on the onesies, twosies. And we got a lot of businesses, but when you look at the employment base of the area, we're really not seeing that kind of growth. So what economic development obviously can be defined in a bunch of different ways. When you say economic development, what are you defining it as?
Well, you know, I'm defining it as looking at opportunity, where we already have existing facilities, land, and opportunities that are being unutilized or underutilized, right? And
one thing, like industrial parks, the North Spit,
like the Airport Business Park in McKinleyville, for instance, which has languished for the last 15 years, having very little development. But very quickly, it's important to recognize the data shows very clearly that in America, most of the jobs are created by small mom-and-pop businesses, not by large industrial.
Yeah, but you know what the definition of small business is? 500 employees or less.
Well, when you look at that nationally,
for us, you know, they talk
about... We're talking 5 or 10.
Micro market, owner-operator plus one.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Rather than, you know, that national definition, which is...
Well, whether large or small, local businesses typically pay better wages, and the money stays circulating in our economy as compared to, say, large industrial efforts, whether we're talking cannabis or any number of other things. Large industrial approaches tend to have more money leaving the economy and lower paid jobs. So that's just an important background piece. In McKinleyville, when we look at that area, fastest growing community in Humboldt County, I predict that after the census this year, it will be identified as the second largest non-city in Humboldt County because it's still unincorporated. But when we look at the assets there, McKinleyville has not really tapped the tourism industry like every other town in Humboldt County has. The traffic goes right on by 101. Very little of it gets off into McKinleyville. It's a what do we call it? A bedroom community.
Yeah,
right?
Suburb.
Yeah. So here you have that Vista Point facility on 101, which is the most dysfunctional Vista Point, you know, in the North State, in that you can't even get into it if you're going north. So when you come over that bluff at the airport and you see the ocean and Trinidad in the distance, that's called an economic engine or a million-dollar view, right? But you can't even pull off to the Vista Point and cherish that view and think about spending the night or doing something. You know, and the last time you saw the ocean was the Golden Gate Bridge, right? So here you come over the bluff. There's the ocean. If we were to change that Vista Point and have everybody get off at Airport Road with an extension of Letts Avenue into the Vista Point so you could get in there whether you're going south or north, we will pull visitors off the highway. On the south side of Vista Point is a parcel owned by the county. We already own the property, and it's covered in brush and scotch broom and pampas grass and you know,
well,
homeless
and that,
camps.
That bluff, what was it, 10 years ago?
Yep.
Was getting chewed away by,
it
the,
was.
By the river migration.
It was.
That just kind of happens.
Well, it was also from the drainage structures coming off all the airport area, all
True.
Drains down through
right,
there.
Coming through
the
there.
Culvert yep. blew out. They've repaired that. It's actually very stable now and in good shape. So here we own a piece of property. If we were to do this change in the Vista Point access, take the county parcel and add a visitor center and the California Welcome Center, which would be the right place to put it rather than a backwater on Gentoli Lane over by...
Now, is the California Welcome Center still there?
No, it's gone because
That's what I thought
it was a backwater.
It was.
Who would go there?
My understanding, I thought that it was so... The state requirements were so strenuous for hours,
visitation,
manpower,
yes.
That it became just
yes.
untenable.
It was a burden. It was
yeah.
a burden. But if it was combined with a visitor center at the airport, can you think of a more logical place to do such a thing?
Oh, that would make sense.
It would.
As long as somebody could still staff it.
That's right.
Affordably.
And how do we pay for the staffing? The grants are there to basically build the facility. I know where the grants are to do that, and I'm good at that kind of work. That income would then generate all these visitors coming off the highway, and they're going, hey, let's spend the night. How many motels are there in McKinleyville? One, the Holiday Inn. And the owner of the Airport Business Park said to me that if we were to do this Vista Point Park concept with a visitor center, that suddenly he would have more motel demand in the Airport Business Park.
In their neighborhood, yeah.
And you look at the parking lot, it's again full at the airport because of the L.A. Connection, the Denver connection, and other things. So, you know, to take that Airport Business Park and fill it out with more motels, some light tech, and other kinds of things, that creates jobs. And those are not just low-paying jobs. Light tech would be good-paying jobs. All of the people then are circulating in McKinleyville. They want to go down to this new town center that we're working on to create sort of a focal area downtown. Like Eureka has its old town. Arcata has its plaza area. What does McKinleyville have? You know, it's got a strip of
Central.
chain
like,
stores down Central,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Broadway, right? A lot like Broadway. So
well,
suddenly,
there's one element that's not there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. The traffic and a few other things.
Yeah, I was focusing on the other things.
Have,
but okay, fine.
We have homeless in McKinleyville
yeah,
as well.
Not
and
to
other
that extent,
stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah, no. But at any rate, the point is that these are all existing potentials that we can capitalize on. Ooh, I use that word, capitalize. So, you know, it's an opportunity lying there and waiting, and there's resources out there to make it happen. It would create jobs. It would create a lot of economic development, not just for McKinleyville.
So what's the linchpin?
The linchpin is that the parcel that the county owns is part of the airport. The airport is going through a process with the FAA of having to bring the lease rates up on all the properties, like the pound that's there, like
right.
the Skeet Club and other kinds of things. So that is going to be a factor. But if we were to separate this parcel from the airport, because it really has no bearing on the airport other than drainage, then we could do these things.
Easements, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the opportunity is just lying there and waiting.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Steve, one of the things I think would be kind of intriguing now with the model that you were discussing in the last segment about having a visitor center and hotels. Now, the hotels would be in the industrial park rather Correct. Than out on the bluff.
That's right.
And then with the Sherry Heights guys having a hotel right on the bluff, too, mm-hmm, all of mm-hmm. a sudden now you've got a different dynamic going on.
You
and possibly, mm-hmm. if anybody cares, Redwood National Park.
Yes.
Might come into play as a destination rather than as a drive-by.
That's right.
For a lot of these tourists.
And in fact, the Save the Redwoods League has purchased the old Mill A property that eventually became part of Green Diamond's property when they bought out Arcata Redwood. And that is planned for a visitor center there and a lot of other improvements on that parcel just north of Warwick where the Bald Hills Road takes off. And so, yes, there are plans for that. And the combination of all of these starts increasing economic opportunities in Orrick, in Trinidad, in McKinleyville, and all that area of the 5th District.
Orrick needs it.
Orrick needs a lot of things. And we're working with some of the ranchers and landowners there to see about pulling some of the levees back, reducing some of the flooding.
I can remember talking with Arnie Herskovic on this show 20 years ago, and he said basically Orrick is built out as far as they can go, and until a full-on regular water system can be put in, water treatment plant can be put in, there's going to be a moratorium, and you got what you got, and that's there really is no opportunity to do anything, which I was kind of curious how the feds were able to bring in
their own facilities.
Their big building there and drop it in the middle and nobody else be able to take advantage of it.
But
topic for a different show.
Yeah.
So as part of this...
Sewer is the other part
of
constraint in Orrick.
Yeah, the whole
Everything's
water
Everything's on septic systems.
Yeah. Is there money to do something like that? Is Orrick now that valuable? Or can you leverage monies out of the state and the feds to do some of that?
Allow
that community to experience the growth that you're talking about?
I believe that's all possible. I know that they went through a process recently of trying to figure out a sewage system. The effort did not go to fruition. I don't know the specifics of it. I know because it's all in a floodplain, that creates a lot of complications. There was an individual years ago that was the natural resource director for Humboldt County, Raffelli was roads, Tuttle
Rose,
was natural resources. And he said, you know, what we ought to do is pull the levees and take all the riprap and the fill in the levees and take all the neighborhoods in Orrick and raise them up 10 feet higher with the fill from the levees, use the riprap to armor the neighborhoods, and just let the river do its thing with flooding, and which is actually better for fish, Chinook and Coho and the rest of it, to have that off-channel habitat and the rest. You'd have these armored neighborhoods, and then they'd be like big Wisconsin mounds that you then could leach into better and have a better sewer system. Complicated stuff. Orrick is definitely a challenging place, being in the floodplain of the river with these levees. So we're trying to look at
the property values being as low as they are.
Yes,
you
all
know,
of those
worth
things.
Investing?
But there are individuals in that community that are engaged in economic development with horseback riding and other kinds of tourism things. And so slowly but surely it's changing. It is unique in that it's an entrance to a national park, doesn't really look like that.
It should be, you know, and I, you know, if anybody who listens to this program regularly knows, I don't understand the national folks that well at all.
Yeah.
There's not even a sign that says Redwood National Park. Newton B. Drury Parkway. What the heck is that?
Right.
Say Redwood National Park.
Right.
If you want to have people in Redwood National Park. And I think that's a bone of contention that a lot of us have had.
Yeah.
Is we understand that they don't want. Or not everybody.
There's been mixed.
Is willing to invite
embrace
people there.
That, yeah.
Well, how can Orrick do anything? You know, they can't do them. They can't carry the load on their own.
No,
and
they
that's
can't.
Kind of seems like how it's settled in, is it?
Yeah.
They've got it all on their own. They can't even keep a restaurant hardly going.
Yeah, well, and you do have to respect the individual desires of the community, you know, and individuals in that community. And they clearly, many of them have not fully embraced the opportunity there. That changes over time. I think we've seen some changes in the last 30 years or so, but very, very slow. Bald Hills Road has gotten much better. Public Works has been successful getting these federal grants to get a lot of paving done. And there's only about a 5-mile section up in the middle up there by Coyote Peak, up by the old a weather tower up there that is still gravel. But on both ends of that, going all the way down to Witchpeck and all the way back to 101, it is a pretty good road compared to a lot of other roads in the county these days. So.
Well, is that a reference to that road or the other roads?
Yeah, right.
Better than Bell Springs. Well, right. Gee, thanks.
Better than the Wildcat.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. So as you look at Oreck, I mean, is there – it is county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a community service district of sorts.
That's correct.
There. Okay, have a school, don't have a lot of kids that are there, don't have a lot of population. Does that make it potentially easier to develop that community and to bring in some viability, or does it make it tougher because there's nobody there and the values aren't there and no bank's going to loan on that stuff?
Well, most of the valley there is owned by a few of the ranchers. And they've lived there for a long time, many generations. They're actively engaged in trying to figure out the flooding problems with the levees.
Right.
They're actively engaged in trying to create economic development. They are the people that are behind many of the community events that happen there and things that are done for the kids, the families, the rest of it. You can point to the same half a dozen or so families highly engaged, my kudos go out to them, and I am trying to help where I can.
But to make that entire community...
Right, come around.
Yeah.
It's a generational thing sometimes.
Fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, as you look at some of the... I wouldn't want to say disenfranchised communities, but certainly those that have taken it on the chin more than others.
Yes.
I don't know if there is one that has suffered more than Oreck, honestly. Is there any priority? Does the county have anything that it can do to help that area out? Or because it's so much money and so much governmental red tape and regulations because of the water, because of the proximity to the ocean, because of the proximity to the federal lands, that it really, there's not a lot of options other than ranching and maybe dairying and tourism. And that's about it, guys.
Yeah, Oreck is in that difficult place like that, and it really is going to depend on how things shift and evolve over time with the community and what their desires are. The flooding and the levees are a big part of that picture. And so what's very exciting is that the ranchers, the federal, state governments, the county are all in discussions about trying to figure out how to improve all that to improve the lives of those people in Oreck and to reduce the flooding impacts and things like that. When we
is
look
being at, driven by fish or driven by the desire to make the community more self-sufficient?
Both. I would say both.
Okay.
But again, when we look at each community, so we've talked about Oreck, then there's also the Glendale community, right? And so when you go out there, that's in my district, everything north of the Mad River, basically, other than the city of Blue Lake, is in the 5th District. And Glendale is going through a change. It was a very much a logging community, like Corbell was, and Blue Lake to a large degree, up until the mills start closing down and changing. Those jobs disappeared.
Yeah, 70s, 80s. Yeah.
Many of the old mill sites have lots of toxins in the soil from dioxin and other things. So what's happening in Glendale is that with the shutdown of that industry, it's become more of a residential community over time. And people are envisioning some really positive changes for that community. Meanwhile, there are these commercial and industrial zoned parcels that are going to become cannabis businesses and industries of one level or another. The community, some of them don't want that at all. Others are saying, well, if we're going to have it, let's make sure it works in this way to benefit the community. And so there's a lot of discussion there. And so the county has committed to working with that community on a community plan to look at how can these things be integrated together to maintain a viable residential community, but also a commercial district, and they work together. Also, we have
That's Glendale. That's not Essex.
That's Glendale. That's correct. Essex, a whole other ballgame. Right. But we also have that large field out there owned by the Christie's. And I'm not trying to suggest what the Christie's should or should not do with their property. That's their call. But in this community planning process, one of the things that's happening in Glendale is people's sewer and water bills are going up to $300 to $400 a month in the summertime because they're being billed for sewer based on their water use, and yet they're irrigating right. gardens and orchards, not going into the sewer system. So there's the district is working to adjust those rates to work with people on that to have a fair system. But the point is that in the long run, with Arcata going underwater, right now Glendale pumps all of its sewage through three lift stations to Arcata. And they may want to reconsider that, and eventually Blue Lake and Glendale might want to come together on a system that uses that field to create all these ponds and trails like Arcata Marsh and Eureka Marshes that creates economic development. Arcata has Godwit days now, right? They basically turned sewage into dollars, you know, through economic development around that industry and those ponds and trails. Glendale has that opportunity so that those communities could have a better system. They could create trails. There's an elk herd that comes down in there all the time now. The landowners could potentially see some economic value to their land other than just grazing or pumpkins. And so the bottom line is, you know, there's these incredible opportunities.
Don't forget the medieval fair, baby.
That's right.
Come on.
I know. You got your swords with you?
We'll check it out in the parking lot. Thanks for coming by, Steve.
You bet. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.